Welcome to Exit Stage Left.
LCC Performing Arts.
Your all-access pass
to creativity,
talent,
and stories
shaping the stage at Lansing Community College and beyond.
Places, everyone.
Energy up.
Okay, let's make some magic.
And now here's your host,
LCC Performing Arts Coordinator
and Theater Faculty,
Paige Tufford.
Hi, everyone. I would like to welcome our guest, Christopher Rollins, who is an LCC Music Faculty Professor. Hi, Chris. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Paige. Thanks for having me.
I mean, we've seen each other on campus for years, but I have no idea how long you've taught at LCC. How long have you been here?
Good question. I think 40 years.
How long?
It's over 40.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. 40 years.
I used to go to LCC, and I did have a job here, and so some of that counts as that. But I think it's close to 40 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Where else do you teach?
You can find me at MSU's Community School of Music. I teach also at the University of Olivet. And Marshall Music, taught there quite a bit. Right now I'm only online with Marshall Music. And I also teach at home online, too.
It sounds like you're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. At a recent meeting, you and I were talking about upcoming events, and I thought that you only taught rock band, right? And then you said, oh, no, my background's in classical guitar. And I was like, what? So that just got me really interested in your background and hearing you play. Did your love for guitar, did it start with rock and roll, or did you start with classical guitar and then go with rock and roll?
Oh, I started with like Led Zeppelin and things like that and rock and roll, and then eventually started morphing into loving to play classical guitar. I just like the process of it all, of learning and reading standard notation. I went to college. I actually went here for a little bit through various instructors and ended up at MSU and got my degree in music for classical guitar. Our program kind of, they ended up dismantling it a little bit for guitar and ended up switching over to jazz studies back in the day. So it was quite a while ago.
Well, let's get to it. I want to hear you play something. So we're going to have Chris play something and then we'll start talking again.
All right. The first one I'm going to do is La Negra. This is from Antonio Laro. He's from Venezuela. He's a 20th century composer.
Thank you.
That was amazing, Chris. Thank you. What do you think is the biggest challenge for musicians today?
Good question. I really don't know. We don't have as much opportunity to get out and play like we used to. I think that's one of the biggest challenges. There's nowhere to learn your craft on stage. You have to be almost polished before you put anything out there right away. And so I think that's the hardest thing. But with all the younger kids, they're really good at internet and their web pages and live streaming and so on. So I'm constantly learning from these kids all the time. So it's a new thing. The kids have to get out and learn to find an area to work within that's part of their generation right now, because right now playing live is very difficult. And it used to be in the day that there were bands everywhere 7 nights a week, and then it started getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So
why do you think that is?
Oh, it's just the economy. DJs coming in. Probably somebody won't like me saying that, but that was the big thing, and that forced a lot of people playing live music out of the clubs, and just generally, just having less venues to play. Back when I was in college and I was over at MSU, we had so many places in East Lansing to play. We had Small Planet, Rick's American Cafe, countless places, and we were out playing all the time, 7 days a week. If you ever get your hands on some of those old posters, those are great. That's nostalgic.
Well, that brings me to another question I had was, how do you think the rise of social media platforms have affected the industry? I mean, for good or bad or?
Well, social media, and it's just new, and I'm not used to it. And I think with the generation now, they're trying to find places to go out and be heard and videoed, and they have to have a full product, and they have to have a complete knowledge on what they're doing. It's not like you just could not know anything about computers or video and recording. They have to know everything before they put it out there. So there's a big learning curve from them, but for them it's not a big deal because they've been doing it since they were little kids. And here's my new webpage, and I know so many people that do such a great job on that. But somebody old like me is just like, I'm going kicking and screaming into that, which I shouldn't say my age on doing that. But I have a friend of mine that he does his own podcasts and does his own videos and everything like that. Yeah, so the age thing shouldn't be a matter, but it is to me.
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, playing live is a more valuable experience or for a musician or just getting out there, you know, if it's on TikTok or Facebook or, you know, something online?
For me, getting out live and playing in front of people is a total different animal. You have to focus in different ways. But that same aspect is when you're in front of the camera and you press the red record button and you don't freak out and do so many takes. But when you're in front of a live audience, you don't get to do a retake again. So
right.
So that's a difference. But I know a lot of people are doing a lot of Instagram and things like that, and just little snippets of things. And so they can choose what's best for them, and they don't have to play an entire song, which is kind of nice. You can learn to edit mm-hmm. and to get everything down and look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, you do teach Rock Band at LCC, and with COVID and all, we had to find other places for our music ensembles to perform. And so you've been performing with Rock Band at The Avenue, and I think there was another place that you performed off campus.
Yeah, Max Bar.
Yes. So how has that changed? I mean, how do the students like that or not, or do they prefer to play in Dart?
Oh, they love it. It gives them a real experience of going out and playing in front of people like they would when they're not in school anymore. When we played at Dart in the past, It was good. It was a little kind of sterile, but when we go out and play at The Avenue or at Max Bar, and The Avenue, I must say, has been great for us. They have lighting, mixing boards, monitors, and everything, and all their friends come out and all their parents come out, and it's like you're playing a show. It's exciting for them, and it's real. And mm-hmm. so I think that's one of the best things that kind of occurred with COVID. I don't remember Yeah, I think when Dart Auditorium started going under renovations, mm-hmm. that's when we started moving it out of there. I think that was the best choice that I ever did for this rock band class. And it's a lot better. It's a lot more work for me because I have to go load the trucks up and unload them and come back. I'm not home until late at night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I have been to a few of those concerts, and the crowd is just, they have so much energy. And yes. And they, you know, I think that for even an actor, and I guess it's the same for a musician, is you feed off of that energy that the audience is giving you, and it makes a huge difference.
You know, it does. It's just everything comes into place, and they do their best job when they're in front of those people and when they do go out and play. When we're in rehearsal at LCC here, we can do things over again and pick it apart and reconstruct the song. But when you're out in front of people playing, that live element is huge. They need that. They need that live element. So, mm-hmm. And that's the nice thing about LCC. We actually give you that experience of going out and playing in front of a live audience, and not just on campus, but at an actual bar.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
It's a great experience for students. For anyone interested in pursuing classical guitar or picking up the guitar for a first time, what advice can you give them?
Well, what I like to do, I teach so many kids starting from elementary school all the way up to college. But I would say coming in through LCC, if you have a little bit of experience, we can work with you. What I try to do with the guitar program here is fill in a lot of the holes that you may have had. Most people come in from learning from YouTube or learning to play by tablature for guitar, which is not standard notation. But for the 2 years you're coming in for LCC, you learn how to read standard notation, and you can focus on rock and roll. The rock band class is there too. But I try to develop the guitar program of being a cross between classical guitar and jazz studies and all the theory involved and all that. So they can prepare to transfer maybe to a 4-year university and just have a great grounding for what they want to do when they get out of school here.
Wonderful. We're going to listen to Chris play one more song. Chris, take it away.
This next piece I'm going to be playing is called Odeon. This is by Ernesto Nazareth. He's a Brazilian composer. Thank you.
That was, again, amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Do you play in a local band? Or do you have time? Do you have time?
I used to. I missed playing with people for a while. And playing solo guitar and nylon string, I would always play a lot of solo gigs, weddings and, you know, parties and things like that. Nice things, you know, suit and tie and stuff like that. But I was playing in a local band for a few years, and I've chosen to kind of really more focus on my solo and classical guitar and jazz studies and so on, going out and playing solo guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not against playing in bands either. Did it quite a bit, but now I find more enjoyment and more satisfaction with doing what I'm doing now.
So you mentioned earlier that you do solo recording of some of the pieces that you play. What do you do with those recordings?
I'll post them on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just like as a business, so if somebody's asking me what I play, they can look up my YouTube channel. I also, I do play with a duo also.
Oh.
Another gentleman, Mark Pasek, and it's two guitars, and he's got a great voice and singing, and I just sing backups and play nylon string, and he plays everything else. So we've played at local areas around here too.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are wrapping up a little bit early. Chris, can you play one more piece before we go?
I'd love to. This is a piece that a lot of times I assign my students. It's by Francisco Torrega, and the piece is called Adelita.
Amazing, Chris. Thank you so much for sharing your music with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's a wrap for this episode of Exit Stage Left.
LCC Performing Arts.
We're so glad you could join us.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show.
To see what's taking center stage next at Lansing Community College,
visit lcc.edu/showinfo.
Exit Stage Left is a part of the LCC Connect podcast network.
You can listen to this episode and others at lccconnect.com. Until next time,
keep the lights bright,
the cue tight,
take your bow,
and exit stage left.
Keep connected with LCC Connect at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Academic success is a priority at Lansing Community College, and when assistance is needed, tutoring is available to all students. To find out more about tutoring services, visit lcc.edu/tutoring.
Hi, I'm Melissa Kaplan, and I host a show called Galaxy Forum on LCC Connect. It's all about the creativity in our classrooms and on campus here at LCC and the connections we have with the community. You can catch Galaxy Forum here on LCC Connect or listen anytime at lccconnect.org.
Returning to school can be a challenge. If you're a recent high school grad, a new Michigan Reconnect participant at LCC, or a GED holder, we want to help you succeed with extra support in reading, writing, and math. LCC's Coalition for College and Career Readiness presents College Connect, a four-week, no-cost initiative created to prepare students with the tools needed to succeed at LCC. College Connect begins in July, but seating is limited. To find deadline and enrollment information, visit lcc.edu/cc.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Welcome to Community Convos, a podcast and radio program from LCC Connect, with conversations about what's happening in Lansing and around mid-Michigan.
Is Dedalian on the convo once again, and joy is resistance. That's the theme of this year's Take a Stand event. It's an experience that will bring together film, storytelling, creativity, music, laughter, and community connection as well. It's going to happen on the 14th and 16th of April this year, and this year's event invites participants not to just attend, but to be creative, reflect, and discover joy as resistance. Now, joining us in the studio to talk about it is Melissa Kaplan.
Thanks for having me, Dedalian.
Thanks for coming in to talk about it. So Take a Stand, Sit In, how many years has it been going on? And for somebody that's never even heard of it before, how did it begin?
Certainly. So Take a Stand, Sit In began in the fall of 2020. And it was created by three LCC faculty, Ann Heitsche in history, Brad Hicks in interdisciplinary humanities, mm-hmm. and Pam Smith in sociology. Mm-hmm. And it was created in response to the proposed teacher's strike, which the group said we're not going to do here at LCC, but we do want to do something in support of that fall, which was in response mm-hmm. to the Black Lives Matter protests. And we want to take a stand yeah. by having faculty and staff and guest artists and community leaders come in and lead sessions, and we sit in and we learn, and they take a stand on topics of social injustice and racial justice that they're researching or teaching or passionate about or creating. And all of us sit in and we learn actions that we may be able to take as well, or we learn more about the world that we live in. And so it started the fall of COVID. It was all on WebEx, and there were 2 days, I think four sessions each day. I can't remember what session I attended, but I was so taken with the event and its purpose that I volunteered to become part of the organizing group and have been since then. And the group also includes Anicia Dillard, who joined at the same time I did, I think feeling similarly. And so for a couple years, we held the event both in the fall and the spring. Mm-hmm. And we realized in order to do a really good job, our capacity as well as people's capacity to attend things here at LCC, there's always so much going on.
Yeah.
And we'd rather do it really well once a year than twice a year and not have as many people attend or us be spread too thin. So we began, I believe it was the spring of 23, where we now do it in the spring. We okay. just hold the event in the spring.
Yeah, that's probably a good move. And I absolutely love that you've got this theme for each and every year. And I think this year's is probably one of my personal favorites, at least the way I envision it. Joy is resistance. What exactly does that mean to you?
Like, well, I love that you are responding to that theme, because without knowing that is kind of much about it, that's what we're hoping people will mm-hmm. will see. To me, joy is, in a way, it's a muscle to build our experience of joy, that with all that's going on in the world, and others might say, well, 20 years ago or 40 years ago, similarly, it's easy, and for good reason, to be overwhelmed, to feel despair, to wonder what can you do to make a difference? How do you manage your life? How do you manage the lives for your loved ones? What does the future hold? And a lot of times, creativity is limited mm-hmm. Because you're exhausted and you're not
You know, that's just not where you're putting it. But to actually kind of turn that around and look for the things that exist all around us that could bring joy, as well as the things we can create and the things we can do that bring joy, it is powerfully healing. It builds our resilience by building this, like I said, this muscle of a more positive outlook. And it gives you a sense of agency to be able to experience positive outlook and hope without it being any type of Pollyannish, you know, like the sun will come up tomorrow. Well, it will come up tomorrow, but, you know, it's not something that's just, oh, don't worry, be happy. Mm. It really is exercising your right to be joyful.
Right.
A big part of being human is the ability to experience joy and to create joy for others.
Yeah, to find peace in it. I guess that's a lot of the times what I think of is joy is when you're doing those activities, almost like a meditative kind of vibe for me when I'm doing something creative, for sure.
Yes.
That's the idea, is to, as you said, build that muscle.
I think so. You're focusing, like, for example, one of the things I do outside of work that's a creative practice is I'm in a writing group, and we write to prompts and we share. And while I'm doing that, I'm really focused. Really focused on whatever is flowing, not with, oh, is this going to be something good? Is this going to get published? Whatever. That's not the purpose of it. It's to allow your thoughts and to spark other thoughts and words to spark words in the practice of writing. You know, each creative practice has its own kind of techniques.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the world can fall away for a little bit.
It's interesting you mentioned the writing process and then also writing with other people in the area. It kind of acts as a connector, even though you're doing your own individual thing. Very often you kind of feel connected to these other people that are doing the same kind of thing. So why do you feel like creativity is such a powerful connector between people? Like, I also know that I experience this, like if I'm in a drawing class or something like that, where I'm drawing something and other people are drawing, you just kind of feel connected to everybody.
And there's probably science about this, but I think being in a room where people are both trying and learning and expressing themselves, like, for example, in a drawing class, everybody is looking at a, you know, maybe there's a still life that everybody's drawing, but everybody's seeing it from a little different angle.
Different
people put, you know, different pressure on their pencil and decide, I'm going to shade this or I'm going to outline that. And you end up with a dozen drawings of this group of bottles and fruit that each one is really unique, but each person is, you know, kind of putting themselves through that pencil, through that medium, you know, out into the world, and to participate in that together, there's great energy. I just think it's really positive energy.
Very cool. Yeah. So 3 years now, you've been partnering with the Capital City Film Festival. How has that collaboration evolved?
You know, it started solid and it has just continued. It is an excellent partnership for us. The film festival, first of all, I think it is one of the great events here in the Lansing area. It's really unique, and it's a renowned film festival. It's recognized as one of the top film festivals.
It is, yep.
Such a creative approach to festivals in all the different locations they have and all the different events that they have in conjunction with it, and a lot of music, a lot of interesting programming in addition to films. And I think that for us, it has expanded our audience. It's connected other people with LCC who may not have come to anything at LCC or known about Take a Stand. So it's brought more attention to that. And I think it's an opportunity for our students to get out and experience something a little different. It is an event, even though we've been doing Take a Stand on WebEx, the film festival is an in-person event. And so that started in 24. And our theme that year was investigating incarceration. And we had three short films and filmmaker talk discussion afterwards. Last year it was exploring environmentalism. And so again, we had short films and a filmmaker discussion afterwards. And one thing that's evolved is where in the film festival schedule it lands. The first year we were their very first event on the afternoon before their big opening night, and it wasn't as highly attended. Last year we were smack in the middle of the week, and it's a free event, whereas the majority of film festival events, you need a pass or you need a ticket. But this one, being with LCC, it's free, and it was really well attended. And I think this current year, Joy is Resistance, we've got a couple of really special things planned in addition to showing the films. We are also, this event is connecting the Mid-Michigan Environmental Action Council with LCC and the film festival, MidMIAC, as they are called. They received an NEA Big Read grant, which means they have a book that they selected, and then over the course of this spring, they have multiple events that they're doing in the community. This is one of them, and we were asked, could we partner our Take a Stand event with the Environmental Council? While our theme isn't environmental, I am the person who views all the films, and I'm on the film selection committee for the festival, too. The actions that happen in regards to the environment, Joy as Resistance is very much depicted, and I looked for films that would show that in a number of ways. One of the films is a PBS series called Wild Hope, and it's one of the episodes of that, and it's Reclaiming Bear River, and it's about a indigenous tribe in the Northwest who has reclaimed land, and they are reworking it to bring back its wildness, what it had been. So they, in a sense, are resisting the tendencies of development and extraction to reclaim this land, repurpose it to its wildness. Another film, which takes place in Flint, is about community gardens there and the power of creating your own food source in a community where, you know, the water has been deadly and where the groceries are limited and not always accessible by foot or to neighborhoods. So to create these community gardens brings joy by working with the earth and resistance to the situation in which a lot of residents find themselves, which is not having the resources that they need to live a healthy life. So right. They're resisting that by taking charge. Another film that at first glance you wouldn't think connect to the environment, but to me it's very much about joyous resistance, is about a dancer. It's a Brazilian film, and she has low vision, and yet she dances. And in common narrative for dancers is you need to have all your physical senses in order to dance. She resists that. She responds to the environment. She might be dancing outside, you know, but whatever her environment is, she is using her senses in different ways. She may not see the way that people with full sight would, but it doesn't mean that she can't dance. So she's finding joy in her art, and she is bringing joy to others, and she's resisting a common narrative. I mean, we live in a world where narratives serve a purpose to identify, you know, groups and possibilities, but they limit. They can really limit. And I think there's joy in expanding one's idea of one's own limitations. And that film really, really.
It sounds beautiful.
It is. It really is. And then there's two other short films. You'll have to come. And we've got some of the filmmakers coming. And a cool thing is we're starting the event with a community sing.
Yeah.
Sally Potter, who is, for those who know the folk community or who, you know, are familiar with the Great Lakes Folk Festival, she is an absolutely wonderful community sing leader. And you don't have to be a singer. And you don't even have to sing. We're going to start with 15 minutes. She's going to have music of songs of resistance. I think there are going to be people there who like to go to community sings. So I'm excited about that, too, because I think our audience is really going to be a mix of LCC, people from the Environmental Action Council audience, people interested in community sing, film festival, just really building community. And I think that's, to me, that is the heart and soul of our partnership with the Capital City Film Festival, is building and strengthening our community.
That's great. And to go back to the beginning again, we talked a little bit about it, but, you know, you need a pass for most of the events. This is still a free event, right?
Yes.
As far as this part goes.
Right. Our evening on Tuesday, April 14th at 6 o'clock, there's no charge for that.
Yep. Okay, very cool. So what are you hoping people walk away with after the filmmaker panel and especially the community sing?
I hope they feel uplifted. I hope they feel a sense of power in their own creativity, in their own ability to also be part of a community that raises their voices together, that watches films together, that asks questions together, that is interested in these topics together.
Well, I've seen Sally do her community sings before, and it's always a fun time. So, yeah, hopefully people get a chance to participate. This is the first time you're hosting a full day of in-person sessions. So why was it important to expand it into that format?
For us and for our organizers, and I'll mention that our team is myself and Heichi, Brad Hicks, and Anicia Dillard. The four of us are the Take a Stand team. this is a great opportunity to do something in person. We've talked about it from the beginning, but with COVID, we couldn't. Yeah, yeah. And then for accessibility, providing sessions on WebEx not only gives our community here a chance to participate, but it lets us bring in presenters from much further afield who can WebEx in and lead a session. But here, the idea of creative action and exercising your creative muscles and playing to whatever extent you want with different creative activities. We just thought this is a great way to do this, to bring people together, to bring the LCC community together. So the Thursday the 16th is for the LCC community. Students, faculty, staff, everybody is welcome. And we'll start at 10 in the morning and go till 4:30 in the afternoon.
Now you got like crocheting, beading, macrame, journaling. Yep. Knitting, community mural.
So our art faculty, Susan Hardy and Laurie Bishop, are going to kind of create an outline of something on a large panel roll of paper. We're going to have that out on the Gannon Highway, and we're going to have materials, and we're going to have guidance so that people could come and they can add to it. They can, you know, maybe that means coloring in part of a letter. Maybe it means attaching some paper, some collaging. It will be for whatever somebody wants to contribute. And I think it's going to say the word joy. I think that's what they're planning. And then we will find the place to put that for everybody to enjoy. So we start on the highway and we'll have activities out there. In the afternoon, we'll be in the classroom that's adjacent, 2214. And we'll have different stations that people can go to. And we'll probably have puzzles. We might have games. We might have a trivia. And we have different faculty and staff who are going to be leading those stations. So you don't have to, like, I don't know how to knit or crochet or bead or
even play trivia. The people that don't really feel creative.
Like me? Well, everybody's creative. Everybody is creative.
I was gonna say, you're a very creative person.
These things I've not done. So I'm
okay.
The thing is,
out of your comfort zone a little bit?
Trying something new is exciting. Going in not expecting I'm going to, you know, knit a blanket today or I'm going to have some baby booties done, but maybe you're creating a little square. Maybe you're just learning what it feels like to work with these needles in this yarn or beads or make a keychain or try your hand at trivia. Or we're going to have a session, a dance and movement session that'll either be in a theater classroom or the dance studio with Lauren Moudry, who's our LCC dance instructor, and guest artist Jared Autry, who's an LCC alum. He's with All of the Above Hip Hop Academy and Everett Dance Team. Amazing dancer, brings dance teams.
Have you ever done the dancing before?
Nope.
Okay.
We've never done that.
So brand new.
We're going to have a comedy improv session led by April Dreek in the afternoon. So both of those you can go and watch. You can go and participate. Comedy and improv, you can just sit and be in the audience and watch the fun happen, or you can participate to whatever extent you're comfortable. We want people not to be uncomfortable. We want people to have a good time and maybe meet somebody new, try something new.
The improv's new too, right?
The improv's new too.
So how does laughter fit into the theme of joy as resistance?
Well, laughter is an expression of joy. I think
it's been said that if we couldn't laugh, we'd go insane.
I think that makes sense. There's
So resisting insanity, for sure.
For sure. And I think that it's just a positive expression. It feels good to laugh. Yeah. It feels good to see something that's absurd or something that's silly or something that comments in a way that surprises you and that can make you laugh. I think movement, too, it may feel odd at first. And I will say that Lauren and Jared are very aware of the majority of people coming in are not going to be like doing dance and knowing dance, but the chance to just even move a little bit, just like we know with exercise, you move your body, you feel better. You build those, release those endorphins, right?
I will even say that myself personally, and I'm not the only one that feels this way in this current day and age. Occasionally I feel a little bit overwhelmed by where we're at in the world. And I have found myself more and more often, if I'm going to sit down and just chill in front of the television, I have found myself searching out and looking for things that are going to make me laugh, even if it means the silly kitty videos on YouTube. Those kind of things like kind of pick you up and they keep you going again. So yes, it is a way to resist for sure.
There's a guy who has three cats. I watch his reels religiously. They have these little hats and he takes them out like around New York City or in the airport. Oh my goodness. They sit on the airplane. They're little pudgy, little cute cats with little hats. And it's just...
All right, you'll have to share that with me so we can put it in the show notes. We need to put that in the show notes.
I will. It's that brings me joy.
So what surprised you the most about it since the event has grown over the years?
First of all, the continued interest in
it.
And that it has legs in that giving faculty and staff and guest artists and community leaders, inviting them in to share what they know and what they care about, there's been continued interest. And then there's been continued interest in attending. Particularly, one of the things we try and do is schedule sessions on the WebEx when they can align with classes so that the faculty may use this opportunity. So that has been really gratifying. And, you know, a lot of things we put our effort into, you try, it's okay, you try it again, maybe it doesn't work 100%. But I think the organizers, we believe in this, and the support of the Arts and Science Division, our dean, we have a Star Day of Giving fund that helps bring guest artists in. So there's a commitment to this, and that has really helped sustain it. And I think venturing into an in-person activity, one of our, what we've talked about in the past, the organizing team is, you know, bringing this into the community, expanding it. Who knows what that means? But I think we're all really pleased with how it's been sustained.
So if somebody wanted to find out more information, I mean, we will have this in the show notes, of course, but where should they go to find that?
So our website is takeastand.openlcc.net. That will have the full schedule and the locations and the times. And yeah, that's a great place to find information. There's also the events are listed on the LCC website, the event calendar. So you would just go to those dates, April 14th or 16th, and that's a way in.
And if you don't happen to be able to write it down, I will have it in the show notes, as well as just go on the Webernet there to your favorite search engine and just type in take a stand, sit in, and it usually comes right at the top. So,
and the Capital City Film Festival has a whole website and it's organized by date. So the evening of films will be on that for April 14th.
Well, that's cool. Take a stand, sit in. It's taking place April 14th and 16th. The theme, Joy as Resistance, which I absolutely love. So congratulations to you and the steering committee for putting it all together. Is there anything else that we haven't hit on that you want to let listeners know about before we go?
Well, I feel like you are not alone in what you shared about in this time. And I think there's a lot of folks who are feeling that way. And when Ann Heitsche and I were talking, she said, and I want to quote her because I think it just really relates. She said, we are intentional choosing to face all the upheaval right now, not only by not blinking at the issues, but digging deep to challenge it by expressing and experiencing joy, holding on to hope. Hope is a radical discipline.
Awesome. We're going to let Anne's words take us out.
You've been listening to Community Convos, a podcast from LCC Connect. Listen to this episode and others at lccconnect.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you or someone you know would like to feature an event on Community Convos, email us lcc-connect@lcc.edu. And thanks for joining the combo.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Lansing Community College Performing Arts presents 1984 by George Orwell, adapted for the stage by Nick Hearn. Winston Smith has been in prison for committing thought crimes against Big Brother. As part of his re-education, he is forced to relive key moments from his past, reenacting his mistakes alongside other thought criminals so that all may learn from his failure, especially his greatest crime of all, falling in love with Julia. George Orwell's 1984 remains a powerful and chilling vision of life under totalitarianism, set against a world of surveillance, control, and fear. Featured in LCC's Dart Auditorium, April 10th through the 12th, and April 17th and 18th. All performances are free to attend. Visit lcc.edu/showinfo for showtime details.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just, throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help.
To help solve hunger in mid-Michigan and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Lansing Community College Foundation provides scholarships that make education possible, change students' lives, and uplift our community. Students may apply for scholarships November 1st through January 31st. Learn more at lcc.edu/scholarships.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
You are listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond, where hosts from the LCC Library sit down with writers, publishers, entrepreneurs, and literary enthusiasts of all types. Join us as we explore the very heart of the written word.
Hello and welcome to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond. I am John Saligi. With me today is my co-host, Robin Moore. Today, our guest is Jimmy Coyer. Jimmy is the organizer of Lansing Independent Comic and Zine Fest. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. All right. To get started here, where and when is the Lansing Independent Comic and Zine Fest?
So this year we are on April 18th, that's Saturday, April 18th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., going to be partying at Graywall Hall right downtown, right down the street from the studio, in fact.
Okay. Wonderful. So that's right on Washington.
Yep.
Great, great. Very basic question here. What is a zine?
A zine, it can kind of be a contentious question if I'm being honest, but the most basic form is a really kind of lo-fi stapled booklet that contains kind of whatever you want. A lot of folks will put in personal poetry, or some people will illustrate comics. You can kind of think of it like a book, but something that you can make at home with your printer and your stapler.
So how did zines kind of get started then? Like, what's the history behind zines?
That is a big question, and we have some great resources in and around Lansing that know a lot more about that than me.
Okay.
MSU, for instance, has this amazing zine archive that spans decades and internationally. A lot of people attribute to kind of like the punk scene, though.
Oh.
Folks that want to spread, you know, subversive political messages, particularly associated with rock and roll. That's my understanding, at least. But again, I mean, these are little booklets that anyone could make. I'm sure people have been making them for a long time for a lot of different reasons.
I love that. That's new to me. Thanks for sharing. I'm wondering, like, what could the first-time attendees expect from your festival?
Well, we are going to have about 50 different exhibitors at tables hawking all of the different kinds of booklets that they've made. And this spans pretty much every conceivable genre. We have cartoonists and poets and photographers, really just anyone that's interested in self-publishing their own work. Yeah, yeah.
Is it too late to sign up if someone was interested, if they heard this podcast, if they were interested in joining this year? Is it too late to get a table?
Applications have closed for this year, but folks can always keep an eye on our website and watch for applications next year.
I love that. So I think, did you share how many years yet this festival has been happening?
Not yet. This is actually only our second year.
Second year. So what's new or different this year?
Last year, we had about 40 folks involved. Mm-hmm. This year, like I said, we've grown to 50, which is really great. One other change is that we had a little bit more reach this time around. So a lot of our people last year, a lot of our exhibitors were centered around Michigan, and that's still pretty much the case. But you can see our exhibitor pool sort of spreading out across the Midwest, which is really exciting. because that means we get to bring some of that culture right down here to Lansing.
Love that. So hopefully this platform will give you a boost in participants.
Absolutely. That's I hope goal. So. Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about zines as one part of the fest and the other being independent comics. I think it's so common that people, when they think of comics, they think of like superhero comics and that kind of thing. So what type of content will be, you know, are in the comics that are like independent comics, particularly independent comics that will be featured at the festival?
Yeah, I thank you for asking this question. I really love it because it's true. Most of the time when I'm explaining the fest to somebody, they assume those superhero comics. But really, it's just like with zines, comics are just a format of information. They can contain really any conceivable topic. And so at this fest, again, I really want to represent that and show people. So there's a lot of stuff that might be how-to manuals that are illustrated in a comic format. Mm. Again, some personal autobiographical things that are, you know, true to somebody's personal experience. But you'll also see some silly gag cartoons and maybe even some more like superhero-style comics like you would imagine. But these folks are not working with a large publisher like the folks at Marvel or DC. Or
Yeah. You spoke a little bit to it, but what made you want to start this festival?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm not actually a creator of any of this stuff myself. I've just really enjoyed getting my hands on as many of these little booklets as I can over the years. That leads me to travel around, you know, Chicago, more closer to home, Grand Rapids, Detroit. They have fests that are kind of like this. Toronto has got a huge one, but we haven't had one in Lansing. And I grew up around here. I really love Lansing. I don't really see a reason to skedaddle, even though that stuff that I love is usually found in other places. I realized might as well just start it going here.
I love that you're creating that platform for this space because we don't have it. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, and I will say, alongside that zine archive at MSU, there's also a huge comics collection. So that was part of the impetus for starting this right here. We actually have a lot of creators and resources for it, but stunningly, not a lot of events or community centered around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you're not necessarily a creator of these things, but it sounds like you collect both like independent comics and zines. Like, could you tell us a little bit about your collection? And is there anything that's like super exciting that you have and would like to share?
Gosh, I think that some of my favorite pieces that I own are actually forms of independent journalism. Mm-hmm. I actually have a couple sitting right in front of me just because, again, they are my favorite pieces. But this one publication by Shannon Spence, it's called Cartzine, and it just is a series of interviews of other comics creators, which is really, really special to me. You can find that sort of stuff online, but it can be hard. I think people are kind of more aware that the internet's kind of feeling like a smaller place sometimes, and when you're searching for, you know, a particular kind of thing, it can be hard to find, you know, those more in-depth posts or explanations or write-ups or things like that. So I'm really pleased to have stuff like this. A lot of my collection is, I would say, interview style or journalism or autobiography.
Oh, wow.
I know that just from knowing a very little bit about zines and kind of what you have told us already, like, these were things that, you know, people made themselves in necessarily not always built to last, you know? So is it difficult to collect them and find these kinds of things, or has that kind of changed and there's more of like a collecting scene of this kind of material?
Well, I would say it really probably depends on where you are. I haven't found too much of a culture outside of these events that serves as hubs for these kinds of things. But it used to be the case that, you know, if you went to a basement rock show, or, you know, there'd be people passing around their own zines, trading them with others. Zine trading specifically is still very common today, but at least around here, I haven't experienced much of that personally.
So what has been the most rewarding part of organizing or participating in this?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many benefits. It's just so fun. Last year, just pulling all these exhibitors into one place in Lansing, you know, in the city that I live in, was just so incredible because, again, like, I just hadn't seen it before, but it was possible. It actually kind of felt like I tricked hundreds of people into showing up in the same room together. But afterward, the number one piece of feedback that I heard from exhibitors was actually, oh my gosh, the people in Lansing are so nice.
Oh,
yeah, and I felt that they really meant that, and that was just really, really nice to hear.
So where was last year's event housed at?
So we were down at the Rio Town Marketplace. They've got this kind of big back room that they use for events from time to time.
Yeah.
It ended up being really nice because at the time, one of their other tenants was the Wayfaring Booksellers, so a little queer bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant that everyone that we were pulling into our event was also going to go right next door and check out that small business right afterwards.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the Record Lounge.
It actually happened to take place on Free Record Day
which
is
probably people,
a good little bump.
Okay.
And this year it'll be at Gray Wall, and Gray Wall's a nice facility for it too, and you know, right by a comic book store as well,
and a bookstore, so
great location for it.
Now let me ask something. Was that intentional?
Oh, absolutely.
I love that.
I had to find a way to make it work because it's really important to me that I'm not really interested in creating events that are siloed, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know a number of small business owners in the area just from being a particularly chatty individual, and I want them to feel like they're benefiting from something like this. You know, I think us having more events in kind of central locations like downtown, it really is like a rising tide lifts all boats kind of situation, you know. Mm-hmm. I want those business owners to benefit too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's great. You mentioned kind of about putting together the exhibitors who are going to be there and the folks who will be involved kind of on that level. Is there anyone in particular, especially this year, that you're excited about that they were able to come to it?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So I will say folks are not able to make it until they're able to make it. Maybe that's confusing. What I mean to say is at any point folks can cancel or drop for various life circumstances. But we did just have an exhibitor commit that I am personally excited about, Field Mouse Press out of California, of all places. They're just small press publishing operation that I have been following for years. So they were just people that lived in my computer. But now they're real and they're going to be in Lansing, and it's just so impressive to me.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's really great. I love the fact that we have platforms where we can follow each other and look at that connection, and now they're coming here to see you. So this brings me to, how can students and young creatives get involved? I'm thinking about, like, how do you reach out to high schoolers, or, I mean, what does that look like?
I haven't done too much outreach so far because the simple fact of the matter is, as impressive as this event is, for me, it's really just setting up a bunch of tables in a big room. You know, it's logistically not very challenging, but I do want to grow the operation.
Yes.
And like I said, I want to be involving more people over time. This year, one thing we're trying to introduce is additional programming. So, for instance, a novel concept next door is going to be hosting, fingers crossed, a zine workshop, a zine making workshop.
Wonderful.
And hopefully we can kind of do more and more of that over time, which will require volunteers. So in an effort to kind of get there this year, I'm going to be opening up volunteer applications in just about a week or two from when we're recording this. And that's just going to be anyone who wants to come by and help facilitate the event in the main ground or next door over to Novel Concept. We'll start building a team.
That's great. That's great to hear.
So if someone can't make it on April 18th, it seems like you have other connections to this community in Lansing. What are some other ways people could get involved in the independent comic or zine kind of community in Lansing?
Yeah, absolutely. I have seen over the last year a number of zine making workshops pop up at a bunch of different locations, which is really, really sweet. Other things that I've noticed, a Novel Concept downtown and the Capital Area District Library downtown have started opening up shelves for people to leave their zines, for people to come in and maybe swap them with other people. Apart from that, I host a what I call open print in my own living room. I have a special kind of printer that I invite people to come over to use. I've got a big fancy stapler. I've got a big paper cutter, can cut through a whole ream of paper. And that's kind of in an effort to get people making more of these booklets. So I host that twice a month. You can follow the ultramega.studio Instagram account to see kind of when those are. But that's what I'm aware of so far. I hope that we're able to see more of these kind of community events over time.
I love that. What do you hope attendees walk away with or feel when they leave this event?
Oh, gosh. there's so many hopes. There's so many different feelings. I definitely want them to feel inspired because that's what I'm chasing anytime I go to one of these events. Again, so many different kinds of things that people stuff in these little booklets. I also want them to feel like we can have things here. You know, I think sometimes, I'm sorry to say, sometimes Lansing residents, we've got a little chip on our shoulders about, you know, events that are going on. Are there enough cool ones? Yada, yada, whatever. I say, if you don't see enough cool events, make one yourself and people are going to flock to it. That's how I feel, at least.
Yeah, so encouraging. So encouraging.
So you mentioned that one thing you want people to walk away from this from is feeling inspired. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was the first comic or zine that really inspired you?
So, I actually have a pretty strong memory about this.
Great.
This was not a physical book that I picked up, but way back in the day, I was just a kid with a Tumblr account, and I happened upon somebody's kind of independent comic that they published on their own Tumblr. This was Carta Monier. She made something that was just very personal, very touching, and I was like, I've only read Spider-Man. I've never seen anything like this before. And that's the moment that kind of started me along this path. So Carta Monier's work is really important to me, and actually my open print, my having this printer in my living room, is something that she did years ago. So I'm kind of following in her footsteps a little bit there.
Wow. Yeah.
So talking about the open print and that, what kind of printer and equipment do you use for making like zines? I don't know a lot about like the process. So kind of take us through the process and what it would be like, you know, making, printing it.
So I say for most people, the tools are their office printer after hours and the stapler that's on their desk. That's the number one way that people make zines, or that's kind of the historical way, really. But what I have is equipment that's a little bit harder to access, so that if people want to do something that's a little bit more fancy, like, or they want to express their creativity a little, with more options, I try to give them access to that. So my big stapler is this 300-pound machine. It's actually called a stitcher, from an old print shop decades ago, but it helps you staple booklets slightly faster. That's it.
So are they always booklets, or can they be one-pagers? Or I saw one individual was making stickers.
So when it comes to like what a zine is?
Yeah. Like, can it just be all of that? Or because I keep hearing booklet, and like I said, I'm visual, but can it be like a one-pager? Or
generally,
I want to see what you got over there.
Is defined as a small booklet.
As a small,
But when people come over to my little print shop living room to print something, I want them to print whatever.
Okay.
We've done J cards for cassette cases, you know, for somebody's tape. We've done posters like this. Folks are printing pretty much anything you can print on paper.
Okay.
So lots of options.
Okay.
A couple other questions about the event, kind of. Do people need to get tickets ahead of time? Is there a cost or anything like that?
Nope. It is free. I need to be screaming this from the rooftops.
Yes.
Free for folks to walk in. If you're paying money, you're paying money to an artist directly.
Okay.
And this is a not for-profit operation. This is a passion project for me.
Yeah.
So I just want these artists supported. I want these artists hanging out in Lansing. I want community to come out of this. So you can, for free, walk into Gray Wall Hall from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, April 18th, and see all of these amazing artists and chat with them and explore their work.
Love it. He's creating that space.
Yeah.
And we need that. Now, will their food be there?
I thought
Snacks?
About food trucks, but we've got so many good businesses right downtown that'll be serving food.
Especially across the street, there's a little Caribbean.
Yeah, there is right across the street.
Joloff,
there's all kinds of good places right down there on Washington Street. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean,
will say, though, something that's unusual about this fest versus other similar ones is, since we're taking place in Gray Wall, there is going to be a bar, so there are beverages.
I almost asked you if the bar was going to be open, and
it
I was like, no, I'm not. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So you can grab a drink, you can grab a comic, you can sit up on the mezzanine where we're going to have some comfy chairs and some tables, you can just read with a drink.
That's
so
a nice setup.
I'm hoping it feels good to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great space. I love that. All righty.
Well, that it sounds like a super exciting event, and just to let you know, I had already seen this, like, information about this on Gray Wall's website and was thinking about going, so it was kind of like really great that we were able to talk with you today, because it was something I was already interested about. So it has been just great to talk with you, Jimmy, and Before we go, one more time, put in a plug for when, where.
Absolutely. So that is the Lansing Independent Comics and Zine Fest, Saturday, April 18th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., right downtown at Gray Wall Hall. Very excited.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond. Visit lcc.edu/library to find the titles discussed in this episode. You can find previous episodes of Written in the Stars and other LCC Connect shows at lccconnect.com. And in the words of Miguel de Unamuno, I hope, reader, we shall meet again, and we shall recognize each other.
This is WLNZ Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. To find out more about LCC Connect programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.